For many lower-class immigrant families, American politics seemed inscrutably useless. During the 1840s, many Irish felt helpless to promote their interests in government. When officials didn't take their interests into account, they used the only tool they knew well: violence. The Kensington Railroad War is a perfect example. Here's what Edgar Allan Poe wrote about it in Alexander's Weekly Messenger, March 17, 1840. The Railroad War. During the last 10 days, or thereabouts, the sober inhabitants of the district of Kensington have been all alive with a delightful little war of their own, a nice rough-and-tumble affair. None of your bloodhound business, or bugaboo and kickapoo campaigns. The Philadelphia and Trenton Railroad Company had received permission, it seems, from one of our judicial tribunals to lay their rails in Front Street, but could not obtain the consent of the property holders of the region. For some time past, the work has been going on, however, with much grumbling and many threats on the part of the Front Streeters, but with no overt act of resistance. On Monday morning, about 10 o'clock, matters took the first serious turn. Quite a mob, men, women, and children, surrounded the laborers at the rails, replacing the paving stones which had been displaced, and otherwise interrupting the work. The sheriff was sent for, arrived at about 12 with his posse, and arrested Henry Rowan, John Craden, and Francis Farley. These were taken before Mayor Conrad and held to bail. The arrest of these persons intimidated the crowd for a time, but in the afternoon the riot again commenced. On Tuesday and Wednesday, the excitement still continued, and a great number of the gentle engaged in the melee. On Thursday, the disorders increased. Mr. Nagley was violently assaulted with paving stones discharged from the fair hands of the damsels of Kensington, who also led away in triumph a wagon containing iron rails for the road, the laborers being fairly driven off the ground. Many arrests were made, but with no good effect. In the afternoon, the sheriff and his whole posse were routed, and the rioters, having beaten them off, proceeded to tear up that portion of the road which was nearest to completion, disengaging not only the rails, but the wooden frames, and filling up the excavations with dirt and stones. In the meantime, placards were posted up calling upon the people to put down the railroad nuisance, and addressed especially to the firemen, draymen, and carters, who were invited to attend a meeting on Thursday evening in the Commissioner's Hall, Kensington. The meeting was accordingly held, and served, as a matter of course, to inflame the wrath of the mob, who adjourned to the scene of action and set fire to the timber intended for the road. The judges of Court of Quarter Sessions now issued a general warrant authorizing the sheriff to command the service of every able-bodied citizen to aid in quelling the disturbance. This officer issued notices accordingly and gave directions to the whole police force, as well as to all the watchmen, to meet at his office on Friday. But before the time appointed, the railroad company had agreed to discontinue the laying of rails until the decision of the Supreme Court could be obtained. The property holders had denied the company right to construct the road on Front Street, and had also avowed their intention of referring the question to the Supreme Court. An announcement of the company's submission was duly made by the sheriff to the mob, who first raised an uproarious shout of triumph, and then dispersed in high glee. Thus ended the Great Railroad War.